Well, good morning. How about let's give the Lord a hand for the breeze that's out there. I'm thankful for that breeze. There is shade up over here. If you're in the sun, you want to move, that's okay to do that. In your bulletin, besides the song lyrics, is also the scripture passage, Psalm 141. And in just a minute, I'm going to read a number of verses from that, and I would just like you to have that out, and I'm going to point out some things that God would have for us, I think, this morning. So thankful for each and every one that's here, and God is so good. The most important thing for any one of us here, young and old, is to possess a personal relationship with God through the finished work of Christ on the cross for the forgiveness of sins and the gifting that God does of eternal life. That's the most important thing anybody here could possess. It is the main reason why Lakeside exists for these past 19 years. And then the most important thing that anyone can pass on to the next generation is not a home, a business, a farm, passing on a work ethic, that those are all good, passing on an inheritance. That's not the most important thing, if you're a follower of Christ, that you can pass on. What is the most important thing, as I read my Bible and as David is going to share with us today, is for you to have a vibrant personal relationship with Christ through his finished work on the cross, and then be so excited and so thankful and so grateful and so humbled by that, that our next generation behind us, and for me, that's my kids who are married and my grandkids who are coming up, is to pass on to them the beauty and the majesty of what Christ did on the cross and who God is. You can pass a home and a farm and a business and a work ethic and an inheritance on to God, but ultimately, if you don't pass on the greatness of God and the glory of God and the goodness of God, then you've missed your purpose as a follower of Christ. This is big time concerning to me, and I know to a number of you, in the culture in which we live. It wasn't too long ago that parents had the main voice in their kids' lives. That's not necessarily true anymore. Our kids have lots of voices coming at them from social media, from school, from friend groups, from the medical profession even. You cannot take for granted as a parent or grandparent that your voice is the main voice in your kid's life. And what God wants and what David is going to say at the end of his life, these are the last recorded words of David, is the importance and the privilege of passing down a personal relationship with Christ through what he's done on the cross to the next generation. And he's gonna state that for us. So through David and Psalm 145, God is calling every follower of Christ to be deeply invested in the spiritual lives of the generation behind us, to pour into their lives, to be intentional about what we're doing, to tell the stories of what God has done in our life, assuming that he has done something in your life, to win the kids' hearts and the young people, to stimulate their minds towards a relationship with Christ. And so I'm just going to read the first 13 verses. We did read it last week. I want to read it again. And I want you to notice the heartbeat of David, of what he's vowing to do personally, and how he wants to take what God has done in his life and pour it in to the generation behind him. So you have a handout, if you pull it out, or your Bible device. I'm going to read the first 13 verses, and then I'd like to share a few thoughts about the importance of passing on to the next generation a vibrant spiritual experience with God. Now, notice what David says, last recorded words written of David. Psalm 145, a song of praise of David. I will extol you, my God and King, and I'll bless your name forever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works, I will meditate, David said. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds. And David said, I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and he's merciful. He is slow to anger. Give me an amen right here in the middle. He's abounding in steadfast love. The Lord's good to all. His mercy is over all that he's made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power. And notice here again the importance of the next generation. And to make known, verse 12, to the children of man your mighty deeds, the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. Now here's the concern. Here's the main issue today. You cannot pass on to the next generation what you don't personally possess. This young generation are very wise and very smart. And they're very keen to what's important in you as their parents or grandparents or adults' life. They're watching, they're observing. They're mimicking where they think it's real. And they're mocking behind your backs where they think you're not authentic. If there was ever a day to be authentic, today is the day. That's what's going to win their hearts and inspire their actions. So I said a couple things last week about Psalm 145. I'll just mention them. Number one, Psalm 145 was to be personally memorized. There are 9 psalms that are called acrostic psalms. And what that means is the first letter of every verse in the Hebrew alphabet starts the next verse in Psalm 145. And so it's a memory device for families and parents and young kids to memorize Psalm 145. Portions or all of Psalm 145 were recited at the midday meal in every Jewish family's gathering. So number one, it's meant to be memorized. And then I mentioned last week, if you look at verse 5, it's meant to be privately meditated on. So personally memorized, privately meditated on. And the idea of meditation, meditating on God's word, who God is, what God has done, what he promises to do, is you're pondering it. You're thinking through it. You're reflecting on it. And David said, as he got to the end of his life, after a whole bunch of sin in his life, after a whole bunch of mercy by God, after mountaintop experiences and deep ocean valley experiences, as he reflected on who God was in his life, he was filled with awe. Now, here's another thing of our generation, and it's an issue in my life, and that's called margin. We so fill our schedule that there's no margin in our life to spend any time meditating about who we are and who God is. And God would almost say to me and us, you fools, step back. Get some margin in your life. And when David meditated on who God was after having lived a life of ups and downs, drastic, he came up with verses 8 and 9. The Lord is gracious. The Lord is merciful. The Lord is slow to anger. The Lord is abounding in steadfast love. Verse 9, the Lord is good to all. He could not believe the grace and mercy of God in his life. It moved him. It welled up within him as he thought about this at the end of his life. And so what that did at the end of his life is he didn't want to just memorize it, and he didn't want to just meditate about it. He wanted it to move him so that he could have an influence on the generation behind him. As he was coming to the end of his life, he was thinking about those who were coming behind him, his children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. So the theme really of Psalm 145 is the greatness of God and the glory of God and the goodness of God and passing that on to the next generation. And so that's exactly what David wants to do. Now, David wrote often about the importance of thinking about the next generation. Many times in Scripture, he uses the phrase, the next generation. Let me just read two other ones besides Psalm 145. Psalm 71, and this would include me and a few others in this group. So even to old age and gray hairs, you should smile at that or be happy about that. Oh God, do not forsake me. Grandparents, great-grandparents, listen in. Even to old age and gray hairs, oh God, do not forsake me until I, in other words, keep me alive until I, it says in Psalm 7, proclaim your greatness to another generation and to and your power to all who come after me. David's like, Lord, keep me alive until I can tell the next generation about who you are. Psalm 78, and these verses are the motivation for us adding an addition onto the building. Our fund where people sacrificially give to pay for the building is called the Next Fund. It's based on Psalm 78, verse 6 and 7, so that the next generation might know the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should get their hope in God and not forget the mighty works of God. So David was all about the next generation. Now, I just want you to notice, as I bring this in and we listen to four testimonies. By the way, you're going to see three generations. You're going to see a teenager, a couple in their 30s, and somebody that's in my category, vibrant and young. He makes a vow. And in like 7 minutes, I'm going to ask you, have you ever made this vow to God? He makes a vow to pass on to the next generation his personal experience with God. He makes a vow about talking about the greatness of God and the glory of God and the goodness of God to the next generation. He vows God that he's going to do that personally and publicly and passionately. Notice the words he uses. If you just look at your sheet, I'll just highlight a couple. There's like 8 or 9 terms. I'll just give you a couple. He says right at the beginning, and this is a vow. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever. The word extol, if you have a pen or you just want to circle it or get it in your mind, literally the word means to heap up one praise after another. The actual word extol means to pile it up. That's the visual picture. So we're to take the praises of God in our life, meditate, reflect, have some margin in your life, think about what God has done in your life, who God is in your life, pile it up, and share that with the next generation. And then he says in verse 2, every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. He makes a vow that he will bless God. And that word is a cool word. It means to adore God with reverence. The literal word means to get on your knees and thank a superior. So we're not just all raising our hands, we're hooping and hollering, we're having a great time. It's with a heart of reverence towards God for who he is. And then it says at the end of verse 2, and he'll praise your name. Shine a light on it. Tell who God is. And then in verse 4 is the word that I really want you to grab onto. It says in verse 4, one generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty works. This word has a little nuance to it. It means to soothe somebody by sharing a victory or soothe someone by sharing a praise. And the idea is that the waters are rough out there in the world. And what you're doing is you're taking your personal experience of a personal relationship with God through Christ, and you're telling the next generation the stories about how when it was rough for you, God ultimately intervened. Maybe never early, but for sure never late, amen? And so we're saying this is son or daughter, grandson or granddaughter, neighborhood young person. This is what God has done. And so the idea is to recount past stories of God's grace so that you can inspire future stories of faith to God. Now, David is not going to say in Psalm 145, just teach the kids. Like have a lesson, get an outline, do the fill in the blanks. Every one of the words that David uses in Psalm 145 has an excitement to it, has a passion to it, has an investment to it. It has an authenticity to it. And David's saying, like, I'm going to light up when I tell my story to the next generation. Now, again, you and I cannot pass on to the next generation the very thing they need if we don't possess it in our personal life. And you're never too old to say, I want that God experience in my life. I want to count at the end of my life or in the middle of my life or even at the beginning of my life. I want that God story. And so at Lakeside, who's ever going to get up here and speak, or anybody that's going to speak to our kids in our Kids for Truth ministry or at VBS, oh, we want them to be excited. We don't want it to be dry and unemotional and detached and spit out a good lesson that checks all the boxes for truth but has no inspiration to it. No, that's not going to move anybody. And so God has to do such a work in your life that it wells up in you. You want to tell the next generation about it. It's the responsibility and privilege of each follower of Christ to pass on the greatness of God, the glory of God, and the goodness of God to the next generation. Someone said legacy is not leaving something to someone as much as it is leaving something in someone. You see the difference there? It's not just you passing on, like I said, a business or a work ethic or an inheritance. A legacy is what you instill in them. And David is saying, man, this is the greatest purpose in the world to live, is to experience the goodness and the greatness and the glory of God and then pass it on to the next person. And that's what we're called to do. Now, there's a warning. There's a warning. In Joshua chapter 24, Joshua said, so I know you're with me, you'll be able to help me with this. Joshua said, as for me and my house, what? We will serve the Lord. And he meant it. And there's not really a bad word written about Joshua. And then you flip the page, literally flip the page in your Bible, and you get to Judges 2 and verse 10, and it says that all of Joshua's generation was gathered to God, which means they passed away. And then another generation arose, the next generation arose, who did not know God. So I could literally say from Scripture, the gospel is one generation away from nobody meeting in this park talking about God's goodness. This could never happen again. And so we plead, I would plead with you this morning that you're going to hear testimonies, and each one's different. It's their spiritual DNA. Nobody has a story exactly identical to the four that are going to be sharing their story. But the question is, do you have a God story? Because if you look at Psalm 145, verse 8 and 9, each one of those five descriptions are a description of Christ as he's hanging on the cross for you to take your sins away. He's gracious. He gives you what you don't deserve. He's merciful. He's not going to land on you something you do deserve. He's slow to anger. You're here today. He's abounding in steadfast love. The idea of abounding, it wells up in him. It's his natural disposition. Romans 2:4, did you not know that God's goodness is meant to lead you to repentance? God's goodness. And then he's good to all. Do you personally know him? You cannot pass on what you do not personally possess. Does that resonate? And so if you're like, I don't know, then you come and see me or somebody here. Do you personally know him? Are your sins forgiven? Have you been granted eternal life? And so I would just ask you, have you ever made the vow that David made? To extol and bless and praise and commend God's greatness and God's glory and God's goodness to the next generation. Have you ever vowed to do that with your life? Have you ever said, this has got to become a primary purpose in my life? The primary purpose in my life cannot be to accumulate things. To continually look at my own reflection in a mirror. It's to talk about the greatness of God. It's exactly what we're doing here. So here's a couple of steps. Commit to grow your best fruit on the next generation's tree. I'm going to take the best of me, all that I have to offer, all the experience, all of the failure, all of the several things I did right, and I'm gonna put that on the next generation's tree behind me. Maybe you need to take a vow of personal responsibility for your children and grandchildren and their spiritual lives. I mean, just say, Lord, I vow to be intentionally responsible. Here's a practical one that my wife and I have done. Write down your personal testimony. And you get your family gathered, whether you wait for Thanksgiving or Christmas, whatever, you gather the family and the kids and grandkids, if there are, and you read your story to them. You better be passionate when you do it. You better be thankful. Write down your story. God's greatness, his glory, his goodness. Do they move you? Do those attributes, do they excite you? Have they changed you? That would be the question this morning. Let me pray. Father, thanks for the awesome day that you've given us here. You are a great God. And Lord, now we get to hear some testimonies of people that are not paid to speak. Authentic, down to earth, real life, passionate testimonies. We thank you that you're in the business of saving people, and I pray you would do it here this morning. I pray that we'd be motivated by hearing God's stories, and I pray that you would give us a margin in our life to reflect on who you are. In Christ's precious name, amen.